All right, good morning. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to get you caught up to speed just a little bit. We've been on this series, and it's about no longer being orphans. And the point that we're making through this series is this: you can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and yet never enter into a relationship with God as Father. And if that doesn't happen, then you begin to live as an orphan heart, as one that doesn't have a spiritual father. But as soon as you receive God as that spiritual father, there's something that He wants to do with you. He wants to place you in a family. And that family is called the family of God, the church. That's where the church comes in. God places us there because it's in the church that we can receive this nourishment from all the folks that are there, all the things that they bring to the table, all that God has done in each individual. So there's a two-part role that we play. One, we receive from each other, and also we enrich each other by the things that God has done in our lives. And as I was trying to make this connection, because I struggled this week, should I do something related to baby dedication? Should I continue on with the series? And I'm just going to continue on with this series, but I did note something. You know, as I was talking about the children that are here, when a child is an infant, we are so full of hope for their life, are we not? You just look at a child and you never see a convict, do you? Huh? No, you never see the bad stuff. You know, you're like, oh, this one's going to be vile. There's just so much hope, so much life, so much potential when we see children. But then as we grow up, there's something that we realize is people become adults, even as they become young kids, middle schoolers and all, we realize at some point that people can hurt us. And we realize that people can, they can disappoint us. And that they can reject us. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Because we have to answer individually for when we face that truth in life, we each have to individually decide what we are going to do. And I will tell you that some people decide to just pull away. But whatever we do, however we solve that issue, we bring that into the church. We bring that together when we come. And I believe that sometimes we look at the church and we don't have the greatest point of view. If you talk to people outside of church who are not a part of it, they're not big on it. I don't know if you've noticed or not, if you've ever polled them. They're not like swimmingly excited about the church these days. But then I ran across this scripture. And it just blew me away. And so I want to read it to you and see if it blows you away as well. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to explain it and hope that that blows you away. All right, so that's the plan for today. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to be in verse, I'll start at 10, and I want to make my way down to 11, I guess. Well, let's start at 9. It says, "And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now let me explain a few things there, okay? This word manifold, what does it mean? It says that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Manifold is like multicolored. It's how you would describe a rainbow. It has manifold colors, many colors to it. Something that is multi-sided. It is multifaceted. And so it says that the wisdom of God is that way. It's manifold. It has many colors. It has many sides. It's variegated in all of its ways. Here's one thing that I think we need to remember about God. He loves diversity. And we love conformity. He loves diversity. I don't know, one time I remembered, there's something like 100,000 species of frogs. That always blows me away. Why do you need that many frogs? Honestly. You know, why do you need that many frogs? I think it's because God loves diversity. And so He says, because I'm just showing off my manifold wisdom that I can make that many frogs and they all have a place in the ecosystem. You know, God loves diversity, and yet somehow we want everybody to look just like us. If not, we become afraid. God loves creativity. I have this thing written on my board in my office, and it says that comparison is the enemy to creativity. I'm going to say that one more time. Comparison is the enemy to creativity. You see, God doesn't want you to be like someone else. You see, He already invented them. They have a place, and you have a place. And if you keep comparing yourself to other people wanting to be like them, you will miss what God is trying to do in you. Because God is creative. Same thing for a church. Churches are notorious for finding something that works somewhere across the country and just wholesale adopting it as their own. There's just one problem with that. You don't have the same heart for that that church over there has for it. So rather than be a church that is just copying the latest and greatest thing, here's what we want to do around here. We just want to figure out what God is doing right here in Ember in Chester, South Carolina. Let's move with that. You know, we don't have to compare to anyone. We don't have to be like anyone because this God that we serve, He is manifold. He has wisdom like you can't imagine, like you can't believe. But now here's the part that really gets me. It's the part that really made me stop and say, wow. Verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known through the church. Through the church. Not to the church. It's not that God is just trying to make His manifold wisdom known to you. Nah, He's making it known through you. Meaning that when people look at the church, they should see the wisdom of God and go, wow. In fact, it says that it's being made known to rulers and authority in heavenly places. In this case, it means the angels in heaven. When it says powers and principalities, many places, it's talking about the demons of hell. But in this case, it literally says that the angels of heaven are looking down at the church going, wow, that's amazing. Do you see that in there? The angels are looking down at the church going, wow. Now let me ask you a question. When you look at the church, do you go, wow? When you look at the church, do you go, that's amazing? Why are y'all laughing? Why are you snickering? Huh? I see that sarcastic look on your face. Yeah. Why do you, when you look at the church, do you go, that's the most beautiful thing I have ever seen? You see, the Bible says that there's been this mystery that God's been holding. He's been holding this thing until Christ came. And so all the while, everybody's looking and God is giving clues, but we don't quite know what happens until Jesus comes and He dies on the cross and He establishes the church, the family of God, and then He dwells in it. And at the moment that happens, the angels go, that's what He was doing. Ah, that's amazing. So I want to ask you again, when you look at the church, are you amazed by what you see? And if the answer is no, I'm not amazed, I'm not impressed, I want to submit to you that you're looking at the wrong things. Because if you were looking at the right things, you would be amazed. Because whatever the angels are looking at is amazing them. So we need to figure out what they're looking at, and we need to look at that too. And stand amazed at what God is doing. Now that being said, there's this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that I want to take you to. And see if I can weave this thing together. So 1 Timothy 3. Beginning in verse 14. Paul is writing, says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. I'm going to keep reading, then I'll explain that to you. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. So he says, he's writing so that we'll know how to conduct ourselves in the household of God. Do you realize he's not talking about a building like this? That word household means family. It was used most often when it said the house of so-and-so, the house of another person. What he's saying is, I'm trying to teach you how to conduct yourself in the family of God, the church, the called out ones. And it dawned on me that we have taught people, listen to this, I believe it's going to be good. we have taught people the rules of the Sunday morning service church, the building. We've taught them the rules, how they know to conduct themselves. I have people all the time tell me, look, I can't go to church. I don't have anything to wear. I'm like, who told you what to wear? But they know. Because we taught them somehow how to conduct yourself. And I would submit to you that there are people that know how to conduct themselves in this thing that we call church, which is something that happens on Sunday mornings in a building, but they do not know how to conduct themselves in the family of God. I won't just let that one sit for just a minute. We're just going to ask yourself that. Do you know the rules of church better than you know the rules of family? Because you see, this thing is a family. It is not a service. It is not a schedule. It is not a building. And it is not a sign. I'll tell some of you guys, because you're new, I say this sometimes. If you notice up on the wall up there, it says Ember, and it doesn't say church. And a lot of times people ask me, why doesn't it say church? I said, because it's not the responsibility of the sign to let people know that this is a church. It's our responsibility. That's why it doesn't say church, because if anybody's going to know that this is the family of God, they ought to know that from us. And so Paul says, I want to teach you how to conduct yourselves in this family. But this family is diverse. Look over at Romans chapter 12. We've been doing a lot of work on the gifts, and you'll find the gifts in Romans 12. You will find them in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll find them in Ephesians 4, and they each play a role. Today I want to focus in on Romans chapter 12, the gifts that are found there. And I can only hit them as just a highlight. And just entrust that you, if this stirs your heart, that you'll pursue the way that God has made you. Because what it says is that God has given us all graces. That He's given us all gifts. And that they're different. And so in Romans chapter 12, I just want to read a few of them to you. Starting in Romans 12, 6, it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in serving, for he who teaches, in teaching. For he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, in liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. So he lists these gifts, these graces that people have on their lives. And so all of you are uniquely gifted. There are these unique graces on your life. We do a lot of work around here about how we are loved by God, how the grace of God is pouring into our lives. And those are general things. But the gifts and the experiences and the character that God has put into your life, that's why you breathe. You hear me? That's why you breathe. There are so many people walking around can't figure out why they breathe. They don't know why they're here. They don't know why their life is somehow different than anybody else's life, or is it supposed to be? And what God has done is, it says this, that in verse 3, it says that God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So when I study these verses, what I believe is this. Romans 12 gifts are gifts of the Father, because that's what it said. They're given by God. The Ephesians 12 gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. The Ephesian gifts are given by Jesus. It says, though the triune God said, we all going to give them something. we all love to give. It's in our nature. We're going to all give them something. And the Father says, I'm going to give you these seven. These seven measure perfect, right? Perfection. So He's going to give you these natures of His character. You carry the heart of God in you, the character of God in you. And I believe that you do it from the very time that you're born. I believe these gifts are put in you from the very time that you are born. Because it said we were made in His image and likeness, right? So we're carrying these things in us. But so many times we don't even get to appreciate what's in us or what's in anybody else because of a fear and hurt that we experience along the way. Because when you get hurt, what's the first thing you want to do? Pull back. Right? When somebody hurts you, You want to pull back. I hear so many people say, I used to go to church, but I got hurt. And it amazes me how the enemy is able to use that in order to keep people from ever darkening the door of another church. But it doesn't stop you from going to a restaurant. That was subtly very good, and some of you got it. I've been to some places, and it was terrible. But I didn't throw up my hands and go, I'm never going to another restaurant again. Every one of them's terrible. No, I say, I'm not going to that one. But there's some good ones, and I'm going to go to them. I don't know if there are any mechanics in the room, but I don't throw up my hands and go, you know what? I had a mechanic that could not fix my vehicle. I'm just going to start walking. Forget these cars. But somehow, we get hurt by the church and we never return. That's got to be demonic, wouldn't you say? It has to be. So when we have these fears and the hurts, we try to retract from everyone, or we want to gather around people that look just like us. That's sort of the other extreme, right? I'll gather around a group of people that look like me and they talk like me and they live like me and they operate like me, because if I can just get around people that are just like me, it'll be safe. But you see in Galatians what it says that Jesus came to do is that he came to make us one in Christ, so that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female, there's neither slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ. Do you realize that when you're trying to hang out with people who look and talk and act and live just like you, you're living in opposition to what God wants to do in your life, which is make this thing beautiful in you, which when people look at you, they go, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. I would love for that to be the accusation upon Ember. I have no idea how they do it. They have rich and poor and black and white and Hispanic and all kind of folks, and they love each other. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how they do it. And you go, it's just the manifold wisdom of God. It's just the goodness of God displayed. And so a lot of times, we never get to experience that because we can't handle the church. We can't handle what God is doing is putting us in a place where people are not like us, so that we have to draw on the Holy Spirit in order to make us one. That's what makes the church supernatural. It's that somehow we can all get along in this amazing diversity that God is doing. And in fact, we'll even do churches that way sometimes. Now, this may be a plan of God. I just don't understand it. So I'm just going to have to tell you that I don't understand it. And you'll have to know that when we started Ember, I wasn't looking for a bunch of young white people. Okay? I wasn't looking for a bunch of rich people. All right? And there was people that told me, when you start a church, Kevin, you got to have a demographic. I'm like, I do? Really? They're like, yeah, you got to kind of get your demographic. You know who you're going to reach out to. I was like, I want to reach everybody. They're like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, well, why not? And like, because you got to pick a category, because, you know, people like to flock together. You know, birds of a feather flock together or whatever that is, you know? I'm like, now, see, that puts me in conflict with what I want to do, because when I go to Walmart, I don't want to look at somebody in the line and think, oh, you know what, I'd love to minister to them, but I can't, because, you know, they're poor and I'm only called to rich people. Yeah? Or, man, I would love to reach out to this person, but you know what, they're black and I'm white. Yeah? Or whatever it may be. And so I would tell you that I just don't see that that's what God is trying to do, because he cannot express the manifold wisdom of God in that. You know? But what he can express is when we can all walk into Walmart and say, you should come with me. Well, why? Because we got this family thing going on. Well, where? Well, down at Ember, and we'll show you about the wisdom of God. Can I come? Of course you can come, because everybody's welcome. And I think that's what God is doing. And then sometimes we'll organize around gifts, that there'll be a church and they're organized around a teaching gift. And so all we do is teach the Word of God. And somebody says, well, shouldn't we go out and reach some lost people? Well, no, they know where we are if they want to come in here. Yeah. Or a group of evangelists who they're constantly outreaching everybody for Christ. And then somebody says to the evangelist, well, shouldn't we teach them? I never thought about that. Yeah. But if we can ever get what God is doing, what the angels stand amazed at is they go, God is putting different gifts and different graces upon people's lives. And when they come together, it becomes this beautiful thing. So now let me talk about you just individually for a minute. You see, there are these graces on your life. You represent like this color of God and this artwork that he's producing. Now, it has some effects on you. It literally becomes this value system by which you see life. I don't know if you know it or not, but you have a value system. You may not know it, but you got one. And if any of you are married, God does this funny thing. Any of you know what I'm talking about? It's that he pairs you up with someone who does not share your value system. Who does not see life the way you see it. And we wonder, whatever is God doing? Did I make a mistake? No, that's just God messing with you to teach you a greater truth that you're going to need when you go to church. When there's a lot more people that look just a lot different than you do. But these graces become our value system, our operating system. It's our perspective on how we see life. It's our mindset. It's the way of seeing and doing things and interpreting things. It actually includes how we see God. I don't know if you've ever moved around in the church, but people see God differently. You know, people have a different appreciation for different parts of his nature and his character. So it influences how we see God, and it influences how we see others. And I hope what you're getting to see is, if we were all just like you, we would not see the manifold wisdom of God. So we cannot huddle up just among ourselves. So there's some dangers. Let me talk about those for a minute. Some of the dangers are this, that there is somebody and they're going to want you to be just like them. You ever met them? It may not have been in church. It may have been in work. It may have been your mama. You know? And what they were looking for, they wanted you to be just like them. Why? Because that's comfortable, right? And that's why they did it. It's because they know that arena, and so they're comfortable there. And so you have to be careful that people are going to try to make you like them, and you got to be careful. The other thing is that you actually want to be like somebody else. You know, that you'll look at somebody and go, man, I wish I could be like them. I wish I had what they had. And so there's two dangers. One is gift projection. Where you try to project the way you see God on everybody else, and they've got to see God that way, and gift envy. When you go, man, I wish I was like them, instead of truly finding out what God is doing in us. And so we all have these different strengths, these different weaknesses. Does that surprise anybody that you have weaknesses? There's two people in the world, right? Those who see no weaknesses and those who find that all they are is a weakness. You know? We end up somewhere in between. But we have strengths and we have weaknesses. And God brings all of these gifts together in this thing called family so that the full measure of God is experienced. So, I want to take those gifts and I want to talk to you about this thing called change. Is there anybody in the room that likes change? Raise your hand real high. Don't be scared. Raise your hand. So, okay, now more. Okay. See, I do too. I love change as long as I'm in charge of it. That covered all of you, didn't it? I love change. As long as I'm in charge, I love it. You know, but I find that when we're in the church that God is changing things and it puts us at tension. So I just want to run through some of these gifts and how they might experience change. And like I said, I don't have time to go into all of these gifts, but when you run into a prophet and you see change, the prophet's like, man, let's do this thing. You know, like, yeah, let's go. I had been meeting, this is a story real quick. I had been meeting with a pastor and we were becoming friends, and his church was having a really difficult time paying the bills. In fact, he would go to the treasurer at the end of the month and he would say, how much do I need to contribute so we can keep going? He didn't get a check. He wrote a check every month to keep the church going. And we became friends, and Chris Gaddy and I were talking, and I thought I should bring this idea up to him since he handles our money, and I knew what I was getting ready to suggest. I was getting ready to suggest that we open up Ember to this other church and allow them to come in and use the facilities to where they didn't have to pay anything. They could just kind of regroup and figure out what God was doing. And so it came time to tell our leaders, so we gathered them all up, and I had this big spiel, you know, and I kind of got halfway into. I said, what we want to do, or what I feel like God wants us to do, is offer the church to Pastor Robinson and to Pastor New Life. Here's why, and it'll give them a chance to breathe. One of our folks who has this grace of the prophetic on her life, Miss Pat, who's not here, she looked at me and she said, well, that's clearly of God. Does anybody have a problem with that? All in favor, say aye. And everybody said aye, and I was like, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. Huh. They just move with God. They can just move on a dime with what God is doing. The servants, they move in, though, and they go, what do you need me to help? What do you need me to do? And where are the holes? And I'll go fill them. And then the teachers, sometimes the teachers, we're doing this new thing with our youth to where we're basing our youth group on small group ministry. And I was talking to one person who has this gift of teaching. And the teacher likes to see the end before they can begin. Does that make sense? You need to see how it's all going to work out. I need to see the big picture and how we're going to get from here to there. Because that's the way their mind functions. You know, the prophet's ready to go, but the teacher's got, oh, hold on. Can somebody explain how that's going to work? Now, can you see how that puts those two in tension? But yet, can you see how God uses it? How there are times where you just need to move with God. And then there are times where God says, now as you're moving, I need you to get your act together. Right? And I don't need you to be sloppy about this. And so you need both. And then the exhorters, they amaze me. I believe it. Kathy Gaddy is one of those. For those that know her, if you don't know her, it's okay. Anybody can say, hey, we're doing something, and it sounds just beautiful. And Kathy Gaddy can come along and say, you know what, I'm doing something on that very same night at that very same time, and all we're going to do is get together and stare at each other. And everybody goes, I'm going with Kathy. Because that's going to be fun. They're just people that people love to be around. They motivate people. They're some of the leaders of the world. Sometimes they're leading people in the wrong directions. But people just follow them by this grace that lives upon their life. They're givers. And I love the givers because they look at something and they know if it has value or not. They're like, that has value in the kingdom. Let's do it. They look over here and they go, that is a rat hole. Don't do it. They just know. And then there are rulers. And I got this one time from one of our rulers. It was a Facebook post and it said, I am not bossy. I have leadership skills. Now some of you know where you fit, don't you? But yeah, it's me. The ruler stands back and goes, that is a hot mess. I don't want any part of that. You know? Or they walk in and they start telling people how to fix it and everybody gets mad at them. Like, who do you think you are? Yeah? You see how this can cause tension? And yet how, if you can turn it in the right way, it can be beautiful because it's the manifold wisdom of God. It's like I see something and I see it from here. And I see it from here, and I see it from here. And it's like I begin to see this thing the way God sees. It's like, ooh, never would have seen that all by myself. It took all of us to see those things. And then the mercy, it's that heart of a person where everybody else is like, man, we're done. You may have run into a person like that, and you're like, I'm just done with them. And yet somehow, those people with that grace on their life have such compassion that they're able to go one more time. You know those people? They just carry that heart of compassion. The prophet says, get your act together. You know? Come on. And sometimes you need that, right? Sometimes somebody needs to look at us and say, come on. Knock it off. But then there are other times where they are so broken that if you tell them that, you will kill them. And somebody has to come to them and say, come here, I'll walk with you one more time. Get up one more time. Let's try this one more time. And so all these gifts, they come together. And now I think you will understand why when Paul is writing to the church, so often he has to write to them and say, don't forget to love each other. Do you see why now? Because you're different. And it's going to challenge you to love people who don't see the world the way you see it. That they don't see God even sometimes the way that you see God. You got to keep loving. He tells them, preserve the unity and the bond of peace. Why does he say that? Because they done got tired of each other. It was easier to say, I'm tired of fooling with them. They don't see it the way I see it. They don't see it the right way. So I'm done. And he writes and he says, preserve unity in the bond of peace. And then this one, oh my goodness. Bear with one another. Do you hear that now in a different light? Bear with one another. Because not everybody sees it the way you see it. Not everybody's going to do it the way you do it. But I want to put you together in such a way that this thing will cause the angels of heaven to literally look down and go, that's amazing. So that is our assignment. To know what God has put in you and live that out. But then to honor and love and respect what God is doing in other people because it may not look like you. And if you're smart, and I know you are, you're going to carry this into your house and you're going to look at your spouse over lunch today and you're going to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought the devil put us together. But clearly God was in it. And now I see how he's going to use it. And I promise to try to honor you more and love you more and bear with you more than I ever have before. Because now I see that God was not trying to hurt me. He was actually protecting me by bringing you into my life. And then when you look at those babies, not just the ones that dedicated their children to the Lord today, but to all of us who have children, is to realize that God has a grace on their life. And it may not look like yours. And you cannot make them a mirror image of you. If you do, you have probably messed up. Because God is such a God of diversity that I doubt he would have made them just like you. And so your assignment is to figure out what God is doing in them so that you can bless it and so you can release it upon the earth. When you come to church, it's not so that everybody can be like you. It's so that you can see what God is doing in other people. And you can bless it and go, ooh, they think differently than me. But I'm glad they see it that way. And I'm going to honor that. And can you imagine then when there's families who are honoring the graces that God is putting on people's lives? And then when we come together as the family of God, when we do the same thing, that I believe that if we will do that, not only will the angels who have just a better view of everything would go, whoo, that's the wisdom of God. That all of humanity would look and say, I don't know what's going on down there, but that thing is supernatural. You can't explain it. You can't explain how they love one another. You will know them by their love for one another. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you that in the image of the beautiful babies that we had today, that you could remind us that if we can be so hope-filled for those babies, that we could be equally hope-filled for one another as adults. So, Father, give us new eyes to see people differently than we've seen them before. Father, I pray that we get a revelation of what you're doing in people so that we honor that, so that we love one another, so that we can bear with one another, and so that through all of that, your manifold wisdom, your amazing, various beautiful wisdom will be proclaimed, not just to the angels, but to all the earth. Father, we are your body, your hands and your feet, fitted together. I pray today that this message helps us to fit more closely together in love, so that this thing you call your body would grow in maturity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say God bless you. I want to say if you need prayer or ministry, if you'll come down to the front. Otherwise, you guys have a great week. Go be dangerous. God bless you.